2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn there. So, I'm thinking about a new policy here at church. If anybody needs healing, we'll go before the elders. And then we will anoint them inside and out with it, all right?
Give some to the person who got it for you.
And then all of a sudden, they just didn't seem like they're sick anymore. Amen. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I mentioned this last week, and I probably shouldn't have, but it's just been in my mind all week, and I was looking at it this morning, and I think I'm going to go there. The passage that we started on is verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So we were talking last week about thorns, last couple weeks, about thorns in the flesh, how God cursed the ground for Adam's sake because of Adam's transgression. And so now when Adam tills the ground and he plants his seed, instead of his seed, thorns and thistles are going to come up. And it's like that everywhere in the world. Doesn't matter where you are, who you are. It's like that all the world over. If you till up the ground, Pastor John Uter was talking about that last weekend, and he said, "Mike," he said, if I plow up the ground in spring and don't do anything to it," he said, "that stuff would be everywhere." And he said, "I didn't plant it out there; it's automatically there." And I'm telling you, it's automatically here. And Christ took that upon himself when they put that crown of thorns on his head. He became sin for us. God was putting that symbol on him. That thorns is a picture of. Think of it as sin brings death and thorns sting. It's the sting of death that's on him, and it rules over. Anything that's on the head rules over you. That's the symbolism of it. But then last week, let me get forward here. Isaiah chapter 32, if you want to go ahead and turn there. We got several places we're going to turn this morning. And we're just going to talk about dragons. I'm going to tell you how this fits in here. In as we move along, Isaiah chapter 32 verse 13, and Isaiah 34:13. That's kind of where we're going to be, and in the midst of talking about thorns and how thorns come up, and we all know what that is. That's our sin. That's things that that have not been taken out of us yet. They're still there, and. But anyway, he says in Isaiah 32:13, "Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city." And I want you to look, he's mentioning houses of joy in a joyous city. There's no joy in having thorns in you. There's no joy in having if you get a splinter in you. And there's no joy in being stung by a bee or a wasp. No joy in being stung by a jellyfish. There's no joy. And I got stung by something one time here. We was in Florida. Something hit me on the leg, and I don't know what it was, but boy, it hurt. And then there's no joy in the sting of death or like briars and thorns and things like that. And then Isaiah 34:13, "The thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls." Now, I want you to take a look now at this verse and see how God puts these things together. We sort of talked last week about, let's see here. I don't see the changes I made to my file. So hang on one second here. I just put some of these on here just this morning, and I got to make sure I got the changes here in my notes, or I won't be able to say a word. And let's see here. Anyway, while I'm going to try to talk and think at the same time. Not easy for us preachers to do that. I'll just tell you that right now. But anyway, he said, "Where your palaces are, and where in nice places people used to live." Instead of the nice things, people's going to have, where is that folder now? Come on. Help me out here, Lord. Let me go do this here. Let me try this one thing there. And we'll do that. Nope. Hang on here. Ah. There we go. got it, I think. Yep, there it is. All right, save the date. Anyway, that passage there, thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles, brambles in the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. What he's talking about here is the palaces and places, where real nice places where people used to live. If you want a good picture of that, go to Detroit, Michigan. You ever seen pictures of Detroit, Michigan? Detroit is kind of like St. Louis. They got all these real nice houses, big 2 and 3 story houses that you can tell were built in the mid to late 1800s, right around the turn of the century. They're very classy done. I mean, they're just the beauty of it. These were rich men's houses back then. They were wealthy houses, and they could afford someone to carve out all this nice woodwork there on the front, nice woodwork in the inside of it and everything like that. And what's happened over the years is that those areas of Detroit have become blighted. The people just moved out of them, and there's no one there. And anytime you don't have someone living in a house, I don't care how nice of a house it is, someone is not living there, then things are going to go in there that never would be in there, okay? Number one, you're going to have animals in there. You're going to have all kinds of vermin. You're going to have rats and mice. You're going to have bugs. You're going to have possums. You're going to have, and here in Missouri, you're going to have armadillos, which come up from Mexico. I never thought I'd see the day we'd be running over armadillos in the road, but we are, and they're everywhere. But anytime you run upon these old houses, no matter how nice they used to be, what's happened is that these things have moved into there. And I asked the question last week, do you believe in dragons? Do you believe in unicorns? Do you believe in giants? All of those are mentioned in the Bible. And I want you to notice in this verse here, he mentions, let's say verse, chapter 34, verse 13, he mentions dragons and a court for owls. Who in here believes in owls? Okay? You can hear them at night. You can hear them. Woo-hoo! You can hear them in the woods. We believe in owls. I believe in dragons. Let me just kind of explain this part of it and we'll move on. I do not believe that the earth is 150 million years old. I do not believe that. Okay? Why do I not believe that? Because the Bible clearly says in Genesis 1, the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And some people want to mix God's creation of the universe in with man's theory of evolution and how Big Bang took place 14 billion years ago, and we are the product now of a very long string of accidents. That's what they want you to believe. That's what we are. That has a purpose behind it, by the way. If we evolve from a lower life form in their minds, then we should be evolving to a higher life form sometime in the future. And the problem that we're running into right now, this to me is very, very deadly. Okay, and I think, if I'm just thinking about it here, I think it fits in with this. At some point, man has now realized that he's not going to wait for time and nature to bring about his next stage of evolution. Man's not going to wait another 100 million years for us to be higher beings. Man is going to take that into his own hands and elevate himself. I was teaching down at Brother John's last weekend, and he'd mentioned he wanted me to talk about technology, and so I did, and I just, the day that I went down there, there was an article that came out that day, and I mentioned it to him that night, and then the next night I talked about it, but it was about how they already, in labs all over the country, they have already mixed embryos with human DNA and pig DNA. Okay, living embryos that have pig DNA mixed in with the human DNA. That's an abomination. It's what it is. How do you classify that? You don't. Not the way we're used to classifying things. That is some sort of new creation that man has never seen before. Earth has never seen before. But anyway, I believe that the earth is about 6,000 years old. God created it in 6 days. He rested on the seventh. That is exactly what I believe. Do I believe that there was ever dinosaurs that roamed the earth? Absolutely. Read Job chapter 40. Job mentions in chapter 40 a creature called Behemoth. That's what's in your King James, Behemoth. And while I can't remember who did this, but in some Bibles, in the marginal notes, it has a little star by the word Behemoth. When you look in the margin, it'll try to convince you that that's a hippopotamus. Okay? It doesn't work. Okay? The creature Behemoth in Job 40 has a tail as big as a cedar, moves around like a cedar. You ever seen a hippopotamus tail? Okay? Doesn't work. It doesn't match. And then they try to say that in chapter 41 it mentions Leviathan. And they try to say Leviathan is a crocodile. I've never seen a crocodile blow fire and smoke out of its nose. Amen. Never seen that happen. What was he talking about? Creatures that we now see the skeletal remains of these things, I believe, destroyed in the flood. Of course, they're saying there's no way that, you know, that lived at the time of man. That was 60 million years before man ever came on the scene. I don't think so. There's at least two places that I know of right now where human footprints are embedded in the same mud as dinosaur footprints, including one crossing over the other. One of them's down in Texas. There's a creek bed down there in Gleam Rose, Texas, that you can clearly see human footprints, big dinosaur footprints, laid down in the mud. And what does it take to turn mud into rock? Large amounts of pressure. So what if there was so much water on the earth that it covered the highest mountain? What would you have at the bottom? Large amounts of pressure. Okay? And they're there. They've got a creation museum down there. They're there to this day. The paleontologists and all these people who study this stuff, they don't have an answer for that. But the truth of it is, you got humans walking with dinosaurs. I did a video on that a couple years ago. You look for it on YouTube, all right? But anyway, this is just what I believe. So were there creatures at the time of, let's say, Job and Isaiah mentions them and so on, were there creatures in existence that look like what's being described in Job 40 and Job 41? Yes, there was. I mentioned the unicorns. Elasmotherium sibericum is this creature. They've got skeletal remains of it. Had this massive horn coming out of it. You would not want to mess with this thing. No way in the world. And God talks about how his strength is as the strength of a unicorn. So when you see things like that in the Bible, just believe the Bible. Believe that what it says is real. And God knows way more about our history than any scientist does. And if you'll believe and trust this word now, then you won't have to think, well, that was just like a myth that they told and so on. And let me tell you something. He said that dragons and owls are going to move into the palaces and the fortresses where one time a human being lived or a family lived or people lived. Now that they're gone, it is uninhabited. And now these creatures are moving in. So here's the connection. We're talking about Christ becoming sin for us who knew no sin. So I'm going to talk about dragons for a little bit. I don't know this Sunday next. I don't know when I'll get done. But anyway, it's a good study. It helped me one day when I realized what all this was about. When Aaron took Moses' rod and cast it down, it became a serpent. If you look in your Bible, and I know I had this in my notes, but let's go ahead and go to Revelation chapter 12 so you can kind of see what this is in reference to. Revelation 12. Let me pull it up here on the screen because I know I've got it there. Yeah, Revelation 12, 1 through 9, I believe. The Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads." Cultures and civilizations all over the world have some sort of idea of a dragon. The Chinese and those in the Eastern nations, Japan, Korea, places like that, they all worship dragons. They all have this idea that the dragon is the god over that land and so on. And that their kings and their emperors all became like the sun god or whatever. But they worship dragons. Where did they get that idea from? European stories are full of dragons. Where did they get that idea from? Okay? But anyway, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be devoured to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And verse 7. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Verse 9. The great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. So the connection here is we know who the dragon is. It is the serpent. It is the devil. It is Satan. He is a dragon. He is a beast. Don't forget that. Put that in your mind. He's very knowledgeable. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 28, that he's wiser than Daniel. Okay? That later on it talks about him, how he is covered with precious stones. That was his covering. That he has built into him tabrets and pipes, which are musical instruments. Tabrets usually keep rhythm, and pipes usually give out melody and harmony and so on. He has that built into his body. It's just interesting. And in case that sounds weird to you, think elephant. Elephants have a musical instrument built into them.
Yeah.
It's in their trunk. Okay? And they sound out that. What do elk do? When they make a sound, what do we call it? Bugling. Okay? Elk make a sound like a, and that's what we call it. This elk over here is bugling, this female's over here hearing that. And so think of birds. Do birds sing? They sure do. Pretty song. Amen. So just kind of think about that. So, but anyway, this dragon was cast out of heaven. So here's what I want you to think. In Isaiah 34, in the palaces where people lived, now they've become abandoned. And in that abandonment, in that empty space now, here comes in the thorns, because they were there already, and nobody tended to them. And now the dragons and the owls are moving into this house where at one time a man inhabited it. All right? I want you to get that in your mind. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 9. And I'll show you where I'm going with this. Genesis chapter 9. Back this up here. All right. Genesis chapter 9. Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives all come off the ark. And going to start the world all over again. And if we look in verse 1 of Genesis 9, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And there are three primary races of men on the earth. There are Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid. And everybody on the planet is a derivation of one or a combination of those. That's how we trace our ascent back to these three sons of Noah. That's just a little side note there. Now look at verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Caleb still thinks that he can catch rabbits with his bare hands. We come home usually at night, Sunday night, Wednesday night, pull in the driveway there and the headlights. There's two or three rabbits sitting out there in the yard. And Caleb will ease out of the car. And he'll leave the door open. He'll sneak up on them. And then he'll take off a running. And boy, there they go. Okay? He thinks he can catch squirrels. I don't even know what he thinks he's going to do with one if he ever caught one. Okay? But they run. Birds fly away. Cockroaches and bugs. They don't like us. Snakes and mice and deer and rabbits and squirrels and every other thing in the world. They don't like the presence of a human being there. They'll either get sight of it The rabbits will hear it. The deer will smell it. If he smells the scent of a human, he may have never seen a human. But if he smells the scent of a human, he's gone. He does not want to be in that because God put that in them.
Amen.
Okay? And upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, in your hand are they delivered. I got to tell you a funny story. It said the fishes of the sea. I must be like double dangerous man to fish because they don't usually come after my fishing pole. Okay? But several years ago when Matthew was little, we were preaching. A pastor invited us to Alma, Arkansas, down nearby south of Fayetteville, between Fayetteville and Fort Smith. And the pastor had two big ponds he was raising catfish in. He was selling the catfish for people to eat. And he would go down there every day with a big bucket of feed, and he'd throw that feed in there. And you've seen fish at a fish hatchery come up and just go after that feed. I mean, it's just crazy. So he told us, he said, I'd like to walk Matthew down there. He said, now I can't promise that they'll come up. He said, if I go down there by myself and throw the food in, they don't have a problem in the world coming up. He said, if my wife walks down with me, they won't even touch it. They know that I'm not alone. He said, so Matthew, if you want to come down there, you're going to have to be, and it was just so cute. Wish I got it on, wish I had a phone that took pictures back then. Because him and Matthew now is walking down this little gravel road hill to these ponds, and Matthew's just sneaking down there, like that. And that preacher starts taking that feed and throwing it out in the water. Every now and then one would come up and get it. Went over to the other pond, throw it out there. Every now and then one would come up and get it. My dad used to try to tell me this, and I wouldn't believe it. Because when we'd go fishing down with Peepaw and them down there on the river, I'd fish for 5 minutes and then go play on the rocks. And Dad was always telling me, Mike, be still. They can sense that. They can hear that. I didn't believe that. But when I saw Matthew walk down with that preacher and him throw that food in there and them fish wouldn't touch it, I'm just going, he said, it happens every time. They know one person's there, and if that's me, they'll come up and eat it. But if somebody walks down that hill with me, they know it. They can sense it with their whiskers or something like that, but they can sense the vibration and they know that somebody's with me and they won't touch it. Okay? This Bible's right. Amen? This Bible is right. So God put a fear in every beast of the earth, this verse 2, every fowl of the air, and all that moveth upon the earth, and all the fishes of the sea. Now I want you to look up here what I've got in my hand here. See that? It's four things here. 1, 2, 3, 4. What does that mean? Think principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what you think of. Okay? Are there angels that look like animals? Absolutely. Absolutely there are. There's a beast that looks like a beast. Okay? The devil has the appearance of a serpent, a dragon. The Bible talks about fiery flying serpents. There are cherubs in heaven that have the appearance of an ox or an eagle or different creatures like that. So when you think about this, think about devils. Think about spirits. And God has put a fear of the man in those animals. Now, in earth animals, they fear us. In the spiritual realm, they may not fear us except there is somebody there with us. And that would be the man, Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul said, if you resist the devil, what will he do? He'll flee from you. Why? He's a beast. He has a beast nature. He has the mind and the heart of a beast. And he can only tolerate the presence of the Lord for so long. He will try to get, like he did in Matthew, he will try to get the man, Jesus, to bow to him. And it won't work. It never has worked and it never will work. And when that happens, he starts running because he cannot take the fear of that man being with him. Let's say that Mike, you're walking, you're up hunting somewhere up north, west, and you're walking through the woods and you see a pack of wolves. Okay? Those wolves, in their nature, are more afraid of you than you are of them. certain things you can do, certain things you shouldn't do. The wolves know by instinct and by nature where your soft spot is. It's right here. There ain't a bone in this area right here. And that's what they're going for. Their problem is you're bigger than they are. So their goal is to try to get you to be afraid of them. So they'll show their teeth, their fur will stick up on them, they'll pull their haunches up like that, they'll curl their body up. They want you to think that they are mean and vicious and cruel, and you have to be, the truth of it is, they are afraid of you. Okay? If you stand your ground, I'm not saying they won't attack you, you got a better chance. What do they want you to do? They want you to run. Why? Because they run faster. And while you're running, and they're running after you, they're going to grab what they know by instinct works. They're going to grab your heels. They grab your heels, you're going to fall. Now, who's bigger? The wolf or you? The wolf is. He's got you on the ground, and he's going to go right here every time. That's their nature. He's going to go for the throat. Why? To bring about the kill. Okay? This man that was killed up in St. Louis, did you hear about that? He was raising pit bulls in his house. Okay? And you want to raise pit bulls, that's your business? I think they're very, very dangerous. And this man found out the hard way. They found his body in his house dead. And one of his pit bulls turned on him in such a vicious manner, it got him down. And just, they said there was just, this was all eaten up right in here. Killed him. His own dog killed him. Okay? You have to remember something. They are still beasts. You cannot train beasts to become humans. Doesn't work that way. I'm not done. Just now getting into it. Okay? Turn the Bible to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, I'm going to take a few minutes. We're going to walk in this direction, all right? Here's what I'm trying to show you. Number one, this is, I've had this happen to me several times. The first time I can really remember it, when God imprinted it on my mind, was probably close to 20 years ago. And I mean, I was just going through a rough, rough time. And what was on me, I didn't know what it was, but it was, you need to leave, get out, go away, leave, resign, leave the church, leave your family, just leave everybody and get away. Okay? That was on me hard. And I was crying and I was praying and I didn't know, I had no idea what it was. And I went one day and I just got alone with God and I wept and I prayed and I said, God, I don't like this. I just want to leave and get out of here. The Holy Ghost, He'll quote scripture to you. And what I heard was, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. It dawned on me then that I was not the end target. I was the one in the way of the target. Because they were going, they'll always go after the weak ones. So when I remembered that, it dawned on me what was happening. It was, you get out of the way so we can go around you and go after your family and go after your church. Okay? And boy, I did. I remember I stood up. I got mad and I prayed and I didn't go around trying to find out all the devil's nicknames or names. I didn't think I had to name them. All I had to do was just, God, run them off. Get them out of here. Okay? That's what I'm trying to help you with. Okay? There will be times, as we go through this, you're going to see it. Jesus is the man. He's the Son of God, the Son of man. Pilate said, behold the man. There's one mediator between us and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Which says it over and over and over about Him. The devil tempted Jesus for a period, and then when Jesus stood against him and withstood him, what did he do? He left. He could not take that. All right? So here's the premise. Anytime, if it's in your life, if it's in your home, your family, if it's in this church, Absolutely. If it's in a nation of people, if the man is not present, the dragons will move in. Okay?
Amen.
And look what they're dangerous. Deuteronomy 32, here's how they're so dangerous. Verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Verse 32, for their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Now look at verse 33. Their wine is the poison of dragons. Now, if you don't believe dragons exist, then this doesn't mean anything to you. Okay? It means nothing to you. You say, well, that's just Old Testament mythology. I saw that on the History Channel, and that's really all it is. If that's you, then I can't talk you out of it. The only thing that I can hope for in your life is that the dragons manifest themselves to you, and you understand that they are, in fact, real. All right? Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? And I'll never forget when I read through this, I tell you what, I gained a lot of knowledge. I want to go to Isaiah 13 very quickly and then read through this, and so you can see how it works. Okay? Isaiah 13, verse 19. In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Who lives right now where Sodom was? No one does. Okay? I've seen some videos, and I buy it. A guy went through with a video camera, and he could see what looks like the remains of city walls, including formations that have like 90 degree angles in it. And he said that doesn't usually happen in nature. And it's in sort of the southwest area of the Dead Sea. And there's these little sulfur stones laying all over the place. But you can kind of see that, and when they go to these little, look what looks like from yards away, rock formations, when you walk up to them, take a little hammer or something like that and hit them, and dust and powder just fall everywhere. Okay, this area gets no rain, ever. There's nothing that grows out there. There is no water. All you've got is the Dead Sea, and you can't drink that water. It's so full of minerals and salt, you can't do it. And no one lives there. No one has lived there since God overthrew Sodom. And what did Sodom look like before God got a hold of it? Does anybody know? It's actually in your Bible. Genesis 13, Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. There was grass everywhere at Sodom, and that's why Lot chose that area, because he knew he's got the well waters, he's got the streams, and he's got the pasture land, and he's going to become a rich man because his flocks are going to increase, and no one lives there anymore. Okay? So look at verse 20. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. That is what's there. Wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. Yes, it says satyr. That's what it says. Okay? There's one Hebrew root word for this. I can't remember what it was, but that same Hebrew word is translated somewhere else in the Old Testament as devils. Okay? It's a connection here. And verse 22, and wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses. And what happened? The people left, so the beasts moved in. And dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now, number one, dragons are poisonous. Number two, dragons are dangerous. And I want you to remember that, because the day that you quit reading your Bible, the day that you quit praying and crying out to God, there's beasts that will get wind of that. And the longer you go without the presence of God in your life, the more likely these things are going to move in. And they're going to inhabit there. Do you believe that America is inhabited with dragons?
Amen.
You better believe it. Listen, there are churches that are inhabited with dragon spirits, satyrs, devils, you name it. Why? There's no man there. There's no word there. They're not afraid to live there. But the truth of it is, they don't belong there. So you put that in your mind, you study this out, and we'll pick it up in a little bit, all right?